too many Tic Tacs in the town.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 3:38 starting time. Please welcome from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Matthew Wiley. Play away, please.
Ma.
Trump supporter, like that was
it. Golf Landing 167. Bop. That song was a remix from a TikTok video on Twitter I saw, which was, bear with me, political, but it was so good that I thought I would. Who helped me download it? What was his name? Z Putz? George. George Z Putz. Something like that. Yeah, it was George. George Z, three putts for par. He helped me download that song for Golf Landing 167. Just a great, great, great Twitter meme. Politics aside, that was a banger if you saw my Twitter feed. And I decided stupidly to get into the politics sewer on Twitter today by replying to a Donald Trump post about the legitimacy of his crowd size. Whoops! That was a mistake. What a fire dumpster hellhole I put myself in. But at the same time, I met some hardcore Trump supporters. I talked to them on DM. We resolved our issues in about 130 seconds. So there you go. It's not that hard. We all want the same things. We all want it. We all want looks at screen Andy Dalton to be good. I'm sorry, Dallas fans, by the way. All of you playing Andy Dalton chalk on the showdown slate or this Monday night slate for DFS, I tried to warn you. I spent 20 years as a Bengals fan, 10 years with Andy Dalton. He is a very nice man, but he's 6-19 in primetime. Andy Dalton is so bad, so, and I watched every minute of it, every single minute, so much so that they started developing a theory about Andy Dalton called the night terror theory, that he was terrified of playing at night. It is now, what, 27, 28, 31, 50, 100 to 3? People pay for this stuff. I miss the NHL, by the way, DFS. NHL DFS is by far the best. By far. For fun. I mean, since I was a child, this has been 30 plus years. October, fall, I've been watching hockey. Fireplace, colder weather, Maple Leafs hockey. It is very strange to not have it. So I just started ranking power forwards today with Saul Goodman, randomly. Underrated power forwards for the past 20 years. Because I miss it so much. NHL DFS, NFL DFS, great. Big gap, League of Legends, bigger gap, PGA. PGA is impossible for DFS. Impossible. This week, no exception. Albeit, Ryan and I have it figured out. There's some steals this week. I think we can do okay. Can I talk about Cameo for a minute, by the way? I have this in my notes. Cameo is the site where you can buy a person of celebrity for $20 to $2,000 to send you a message. At first I thought, this is insane, who would do this? But volume-wise, if you're a famous person and you get 10 a day, I mean, you can make great money. just recording these notes. But then I saw there was Mark Russell, PGA Tour official, on there for $20. Mark Russell, PGA Tour official. Can you imagine trolling your kids on their 7th birthday like my kids, who could care less about sports than anyone on the planet? They despise sports. They can't stand when I watch golf or anything. Can you imagine if I got the Mark Russell PGA Tour official for their 7th birthday? What a hoot that would be. Hey, Kate. Happy 7th birthday. It's Mark Russell here, PGA Tour official. I hope your 7th birthday rules. All right, let's talk about the PGA this week with Ryan. Let's talk about him. Let's talk about that. I was going to go into some Barstool stuff, being anti-vaccine and very cultish, which I'm concerned about, but I don't know if I want to talk about it. I mean, their whole shtick, and I, you know how much I admire Dave Portnoy's content and how good he is at producing content. And being anti-ESPN and anti-network has been a big thrust of their mission, but are they becoming what they hate or what they don't want to be? And is it worse because it's a cult? I mean, ESPN, I mean, you weren't there to believe everything they said. You were there for information, real-time scores, live sports, commentary. But Barstool, I mean, it's a very powerful voices on that network. And I saw some anti-vax stuff and some anti-CDC stuff. And I thought, you know, this could be dangerous. The power of their voice into the future is pretty significant, and I hope they don't become that. Let's just keep it under wraps. Keep it funny, folks. Just like me talking about politics on Twitter today, which is a sewer I will not go down again, probably, but I don't have the same exposure as Barstool, so let's probably not go down that road. Because first of all, for you anti-vaxxers, we want to keep our children alive from, I don't know, the measles. So you could have a revenue base in 15 years to pay you money for your sports network. So maybe you should support vaccinations. I don't know. And secondly, if my children are a litmus test for sports or kids even playing sports anymore, I mean, kids are more interested in Roblox and their iPads and creating TikToks than they are in sports. Where does live sports go 15, 20 years from now? I think my kids give a crap about it. Something to think about from a content perspective. And maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me, chalk donkey idiot. Last point, chalk donkey idiot, the Derrick Henry phenomenon last weekend. I think there's some very funny DFS personalities in football. Peter over something, Overzet, Overzet, Overzet. I'm dyslexic. I can't read names well, so I think that's it. But Peter O, he's very funny. And he used the word chalk donkey idiot in his Periscope or his video on YouTube today. Which is completely me. Describe me perfectly. I can never stay away from chalk. And Derrick Henry is a perfect example in the NFL. Which turned out to be a good pick. But I am a chalk donkey idiot. Can't stay away from it. I donate. That's why you donate. CDI, chalk donkey idiot. Chalk donkey idiot. Whatever. Who cares? Who cares? Everyone get along. You should see the message I had with this hardened Trump supporter from Indiana. He was killing me on Twitter, and I DM'd him. And we turned to be best friends in like 30 seconds. It doesn't take much. We all want the same things. The biggest problem is everyone thinks that, oh, let's call Trump voters idiots. Don't do that. Why would you do that? It's offensive to them. And I agree it's offensive to them. Whatever. This chair needs oil. Let's hear that. What the hell? 167 shows. I still haven't oiled this chair or got a new one. Spent $20. What a joke. I'm a joke. Let's talk to Ryan.
Cash take you on a natural joint. Cream, get the money.
Tiger Woods, y'all.
All right. First of all, here's what you're not a Dallas fan, but I'm extremely sorry to Dallas Cowboy fans, especially those who played Andy Dalton chalk tonight. I had to live through this for 11 years. Well, 20 years as a Bengals fan, asterisk. You're a Brown. We are Ohio football fans, Ryan.
It's really bad.
Listen, yeah. we have to live and suffer through this, but to assume that the players that leave us are going to be good, okay, that is the one thing that makes us feel great. I know Andy Dalton in primetime. 6-19 and 1. I watched every minute of it. Overthrowing receivers. It's like Baker Mayfield going to the Patriots, right? You know he's going to be bad.
No, that was it was incredible. He's terrible. You don't get fired from the Bengals for being a good serviceable quarterback. He was the sore thumb on the worst franchise. Well, close to the worst franchise in the league. So yeah.
They're like, well, he didn't have the same team around him. Are you serious? He had prime A.J. Green. Managed to mess that up. All right, let's talk about golf. This week is the Zozo at Sherwood. We've never said those words before.
The Zozo at Sherwood? No.
No, right? Thousand Oaks, California, USA, suburban Los Angeles private club. Now, this is on you. First of all, it's a tree-lined parklands. We'll get over it. But do we often see a par 72 course that's 7,000 yards on the PGA Tour? We never see one. We don't see that, but we never see one with five par fives.
No, this is going to be a lot of fun. It's not the easiest course, but I think with that, you're just going to see a lot of scoring, which is, it's exciting.
Why don't you think it's easy?
I mean, I think historically it just hasn't been that easy of a golf course. Now, you have to...
What about it? Because I think
you think it's going to be a joke? No, I mean, yeah. I just think it's not the type of course that they play. Just like what we saw last week, at Shadow Creek. It's a different... It's got some elevation. It's got some dog legs. It's narrow. It's got small targets. I just think it's a different kind of course. And like you look back at guys who have played well here in that small sample of that small tournament that we have here, but it's not a bomber's track. You've seen Webb play well here. You've seen Zach Johnson win here. I mean, yeah.
Five par fives, Ryan. The PGA Tour, wide fairways, bent grass greens, 8,000.
I guess we just lock
greens.
In Victor Hovland and move on then. Is that it?
We lock in Brendan Todd. Wait, I said the quiet part loud. All right, so Mike Miller's notes from the Zozo Championship, Mike Miller, greensquare.golf. If you want golf history, form history, anything you want, the only thing that I believe I've boiled down to successful predictability in golf is form, period. And even with that, you got a 10% shot at nailing a winner. So greensquare.golf, especially on the European Tour, and I got some good picks there this week.
I like Italian. It. Yeah.
So Sherwood Country Club, Thousand Oaks, Jack Nicklaus, 1989 design, testing short, very undulating, sometimes watery. It's a tree-lined parklands. Par 72, 7,000 yards, five par threes, five par fives, mature trees, four water hazards. Par fives are all reachable in two. One par four is drivable. Undulating bent grass fairways, 3-inch rough, bent grass greens, large, 7,000 to 8,000 greens, square foot greens. That's big.
Sure.
For the PGA Tour. Par five scoring, greens and regs, scrambling, bent grass putting. It's a second shot course. Need to find the right landing areas in the green. Suits a creative shot shaper. Here are the members. Here's the creative part of the Green Square Golf notes for this course. OJ Simpson is a member.
Very exciting.
Caitlyn Jenner's a member. This is the course that they're a member of. Sylvester Stallone, Mel Gibson, Joe Pesci, Wayne Gretzky.
That's surprising. I don't know much about this course either. I think there's a lot that's up in the air. I don't even know. It's such a weird time of year as well, right? Like, I mean, these guys are just looking ahead. They have the Masters coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
It's just this small field, no cut stuff. I mean, we saw it last week. I barely played last week, but it's just tough to get into it. And you saw a lot of the top guys not play well. I feel like the same thing's going to happen this week.
Well, I think this week is, I mean, DJ's gone. But I don't think with the five par fives and the what I believe is the relative easiness of this course, I just don't think that some of these players who are just exceptionally good can just not play great. So I boiled this down to five key categories in my stat model.
Let's hear it, Mark.
Birdies are better, par five scoring, bent grass putting, approach, tee to green. Now, I actually love the number one that came out of this model is Webb Simpson, and I believe he's a good price, surprisingly, at 9,700. Webb, this is my top 10 model. Webb, Xander, Cantlay, Morikawa, Rory, JT, Rahm, Matsuyama, Berger, like Hovland. So there's you go. There are your top 10.
Yeah, I have a lot of the same overlap. I mean, the top four, you know, aren't changing. It doesn't really matter the order. I have Rahm, Xander, Rory, JT in that order. Followed by Webb, Hatton, Morikawa, Hovland, Hideki.
Here's last week, though, coming into this week, which is interesting because this top guy in TD Green is peaking. Two guys are peaking just in time for the Masters. TD Green last week, Bubba Hatton 1-2. I think those two should be locks for the Masters right now, at least. Especially Tyrrell Hatton. But top five TD Green last week, just wait. Bubba, Hatton, Gooch, Xander Schauffele, Neiman, top five approach last week. Hatton, Bubba, Morikawa, Champ, your guy, and Lonto. Go ahead on.
It makes a lot of sense. I think with Bubba especially, I mean, you talk about the form, you talk about the course history. I think he's going to be a great play. I think he's a great play here. He's played here at least three or four times, and you know, in the top 10, he contended twice. I think it's perfect course for him. He plays well in California. He likes these creative golf courses. Even though he's a bomber, like, I feel like Bubba would rather play a shorter golf course with a lot of dog legs. He hits a lot of really good wedge shots. So, and he makes a lot of birdies. So I think that makes a lot of sense. Hatton is interesting. You know, when you talk about him for the Masters, I absolutely love him this week. His irons were off the chart last week. He had one bad round, but he gained like 4 strokes the first round, 2 strokes approach each of the other two rounds. I don't know about the mindset for Augusta yet, or for majors in general, right? He just hasn't shown it yet.
Off topic, I found interesting because we've always talked about Augusta being a place where you have to have good hands to win. I saw a vignette on Twitter with Luke Donald naming the top five players he's ever played with. Luke Donald, former number one, perhaps the best bunker player, maybe short game player, one of them all time. His top five players all time were Tiger, Phil, Rory. Who was three? It was Tiger, Rory. Three. God bless. I don't know. Is it Phil was four, and Sergio?
Yeah, I figured Sergio would be in there.
Was five, right? Who's three? This should be easy.
Probably one of his guys. Is it Rose or Westwood?
Nope, nope.
It could have been DJ. Is it DJ?
Yes, DJ. Sorry. DJ.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Five was Sergio, but what he said about Sergio, because we all know that Sergio is one of the best ball strikers ever, but he said that Sergio had great hands. Which what Wade Floyd Jr. said about Augusta is you have to have great hands. Bubba, for instance. Phil, obviously. But Sergio winning. So, not that this matters this week, but I love Webb this year at Augusta. I think Webb is one of the best wedge players on tour. And creative. Bubba and Webb, this would be a good test whether or not they're peaking before Masters. I think
so too. I mean, Webb, like he's good every week. Like, he didn't win the Shriners. No, he was very popular. But like, what did he do there? He shot what 68, 67, 66, 68 or something, and he finished near the top 10. Right. Like, he's just so consistent. Even when he doesn't play well, he's shooting like a bogey-free four under. You know, he just doesn't make any mistakes.
No, and let me see here. I had some guys here in value. I did some guys in value that I thought I had a bunch, just on price. Ryan Palmer popped up. Lonto Griffin at 7,000. I thought he played okay last week. Gooch, what price is he? I mean, he's 7,100. Rose, world-class player, 7,400. Mark Hubbard, okay, bear with me here. We're huge Mark Hubbard stands, right? Okay, he was 17th last week. But Mark Hubbard's not a very long hitter, but with five par fives, on a course that's relatively easy, Mark Hubbard throws up a ton of birdies. Like at 6,400, I think that's a very good price for Mark Hubbard. Mackenzie Hughes, same category for me. Brendan Todd, obviously, the winner this week.
Of course.
And Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth is now in the sixes.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you mentioned names. He was solid last weekend. He shot 69, 67 was gaining strokes off the tee and approach. Yes. I mean, if you want, you know, a short course, he actually plays par fives pretty well, but, you know, it's a short course, lots of birdies out there. It's a wedge fest.
Jordan
putting
Spieth,
in California.
Dude,
you could do a lot worse for 6,900. And I think, yeah, I mean, I like a lot of these guys that you mentioned. You know, Rose definitely stood out. I think Jason Day is fine. You know, he was awesome last week for three rounds before he woke up with a stiff neck.
What happened?
He woke up with a stiff neck. But, like, I mean, Day, Rose, I mean, Mickelson, he's obviously playing well, right? He keeps winning old guy events.
I wouldn't touch
him. I mean, Adam Scott is in the sevens. Like, I don't know. I think when I see weeks like this, and, yeah, I mean, look at the pricing, and it's like, I'm just never going to play guys. I'm just going to go down the list here. Like, I see Answer, Horschel, Harmon, Woodland.
Never.
Yeah.
Never.
Like all these guys are the same price as
English,
Day Fowler. Never. Like, yeah, come on. I'm playing the pedigree. But I think for this week, like what you said, I mean, the top guys are all priced pretty similarly. They're all playing pretty well. I just think the whole week comes down to which one or two of those guys are you picking.
When was the last time Jordan Spieth was sub 7,000?
I don't know. I don't know if it happened.
I think it's going to be a special week for him.
I mean, he doesn't have to do much in a no-cut event for 6,900, does he?
Absolutely not. And he didn't play badly last week like you
said.
Did
you see where he finished last week in DraftKings scoring?
No.
He finished 13th. Yeah. So, like, yeah, if I mean, even if he finishes 20th, right, in DraftKings scoring, or 25th, you know, for 6,900, he's the last guy in your lineup. Like, yeah, I think he could do a lot worse than that.
Mm-hmm. Love Jordan Spieth. Love Brendan Todd. Brendan Todd, give him a 7,000-yard course with five par fives. He's going to tear it up with wide fairways. I can never play Xander Schauffele ever, and it drives me crazy because he's so good. But at 11-2, forget it. I don't care.
It's very weird to see him as the highest priced guy. But he's been playing off the charts. So, like, you know, he was so good on Sunday. And, I mean, obviously, you know, he's a luck box.
Tyrrell Hatton's the thing, by the way. He's just too much. Too much going on. Too much golf.
It's a lot of golf, yeah.
He's worn out. Who's the winner?
I mean, I think I'm with you with Webb, but I'm going to say Bubba. I just think, you know, he's at that point, and of course now he's so short that I can't bet him. But yeah, I'll say Bubba. He's playing so well.
I like both those two. I'm surprised Bubba is 8,700. Yeah. I thought he would be more in the sevens, especially with Rose down there and Scott down there. It's odd. It's amazing how DraftKings does this based on previous week's performance. Sunjai M at 8,000 is pretty interesting.
Yeah, very good price. He was exceptional on the weekend, on Sunday specifically.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, great. Now let's go to the Italian Open. The Italian Open. Your guy, Ottaegi. You had a three-way last week. Ottaegi,
a three-way of guys that I didn't bet. Almost. Yes, Ottaegi, Kokrak, and Mickelson.
You love, yes. Your dream is a three-way of guys with Kokrak, Ottaegi.
Yeah, that was good. I mean, easily could have been on all three of them. Instead, was on none of them.
Your narrative.
But no, he played great. I mean, so Ottaegi shot 10 under Thursday, 9 under Sunday. Pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. It was him and Wallace, and I forget who was it Perez close? No.
You know, I'm so glad Wallace has, like, not won, and he's been pretty bad overall. Like, the more that I watch him and, like, the more that you hear him talk, the guy's just a dick. Nobody likes him.
Have you heard that?
Nobody likes him.
No, I mean, the way he treats his caddy is pretty...
Yeah, nice. I just don't think anybody likes him. Yeah. But I was very happy to see Ottaegi win. Very happy to see Kokrak win, obviously, as well. And yeah, I mean, Mickelson, it's super interesting this week. I feel like I'm going to probably end up there.
All right. So I've got an interesting one for this week. In Italy. Well, not interesting, but he's Italian. I'm a huge Renato Paratore fan. He's like a Thomas Peters from Italy to me. Not that necessarily he's going to win, but I do love him. I also love Sadier from France.
He was really good last week. Yep.
Yeah. I know you like Matthew Baldwin. He's talking about
I literally just bet him about 15 minutes ago. No joke. 175-1. Yep.
He's at 175-1.
Yep. He was, I think Coley bet him last week and he finished in the top 10. Like, why are you not going to bet him again? I don't know.
Exactly. Can Wallace put it together back to back weeks? Sure. Is he too short priced? Of course.
And all those guys are at the top. Like, what are you going to bet Martin Keimer at 10-1? Like, Christ.
No, never, never. The Euro Tour, you've got to go 60 and up. Otherwise, just don't even play the game. So that's why I like Sadie a lot. JB Hansen. I know you're looking at Caldwell too.
I mean, it definitely seems like one of those weeks where, like, grabbing four or five mid-tier guys is probably the way to go. I think you mentioned a couple of them, like Adri is there, Olesen is there, Harding is there. Like, I feel like that's the type that's going to win this week. But, I went deeper. So I did bet Baldwin. I bet Will Besseling at 66-1.
My God.
Yeah, you know, I just, I just like playing these guys from cold weather countries. So whether it's the Netherlands or whether it's Sweden or Finland, like that's the type of player that I'm going to play here. And I bet Karlberg last week at 80-1, and he withdrew before the tournament. I have no idea why. But he's 110-1 now, so I bet him again. I'm a sucker for Karlberg.
Rikard Karlberg. I was told by Mike Miller to mention him, and I told him we are huge Rikard Karlberg fans.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea why he withdrew last week, or even if he was ever entered, but you know, but he was posted 80-1, and now he's 110-1. So yeah, sure, why not?
I think Baldwin or Louis de Jager. No, right. Matthew Baldwin is the pick. I agree. I think Sadie and Matthew Baldwin are the picks with some fluff on the PGA.
Yeah, I definitely don't think it's I don't think it's a chalk week at all. And I'm trying to think who's going to ruin this week for us. It could be Patrick Cantlay. It could be Tony Finau. I think that would suck. But I feel like there's going to be there's going to be a culprit this week who ruined the week.
I'm okay with Finau winning. I cannot, the two guys I cannot handle ever winning are Schauffele
or
Cantlay. Ever. I just can't, I just never have it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't play them. I don't bet them. I don't root for them.
Or Matt Wolf. All right, man. So who are our picks? Webb Simpson, Matthew Baldwin. That sounds good. That sounds
yeah,
like a
I'll take Bubba. So I'll say Bubba. And, screw it. Give me Karlberg. Bubba Karlberg.
I'm in, man. We are so aligned. I love
it. So bad.
Browns, Bengals this week.
Who's your winner? Nobody.
Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, I just, yeah, I think they do. I mean, Baker is bad. He is hurt. The offensive line is not playing well. I think, I mean, Hunt is an excellent running back, but Hunt is an excellent running back when you also have Nick Chubb, you know? They're just frustrating.
Yes, I agree.
See ya.
All right, so let's finish out this week real quick. This is subject to change, and disclaimer, nothing I say matters. But I love Webb Simpson. I love Bubba Watson. I always love Brendan Todd. And then in the Italian championship, Sadie, Rikard Karlberg, Matthew Baldwin. For some money. This is the Oily Chair Podcast. The Golflandy 167 brought to you by Oily Chair Networks. What a joke. What a joke. I can't even commit to the decency of the content by oiling this chair. Pathetic. All right, 168. We're close to the Masters, folks. Have a good week.
And I do it again. Bop, bop. And I do it again. Bop, bop, bop. Do it again. Bop, bop, bop. Do it again. Bop, 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 bop. And do it again.
Hold up.
My dad literally just got punched in the face for being a Trump supporter. Like, that was it.
And I do it again.
Hold up.
Yes, you boy. And I do it again.